My brothers and sisters, today is the feast of Christ the King, the Anointed One. But today I'd like to focus on an aspect of the kingship of Christ that you and I usually tend to overlook. My sisters and brothers, do you realize that when each and every one of us was baptized, we were anointed with the oil of chrism? That's the same oil that was used to anoint priests, prophets, and the kings of old. During the rite of baptism, the priest or deacon proclaims, "As Christ was anointed, priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as members of his body, sharing everlasting life." And so each and every one of us here today is anointed to be Christ the King for one another. In a sense, you might say the feast of Christ the King is also our feast day as well. Now, with every great honor and privilege, though, there also comes a great and a serious responsibility. So what responsibility, then, does our anointing as kings and queens call us to? Well, to begin with, we normally think of a king as being seated high on a royal throne, handing out decrees and judgments and orders to his subjects who are down at his feet. But if you'll notice, every time the Jews try to make Jesus into that kind of king, he wants nothing at all to do with it. Nothing at all. My friends, the human race has been trying to rely on that kind of kingship, that kind of leadership, since ancient times. The scriptures tell us that over and over again, the Israelites begged for a king to rule over them. And time again, the prophets kept reminding them that God himself was their king, and that God's love and care and God's protection was all that they really needed. But the people of those times were very stubborn and obstinate. Thank God there's no one like that here today. Oh, is there? So the people insisted on having a king to rule over them. And so when the Israelites finally chose their own king, they ended up with Saul, a warrior king, a tyrant who would lord it over the people in total sovereignty, unquestioned authority, and oppressive power. But sisters and brothers, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. And so Jesus came to reveal the true nature of kingship. Jesus showed himself as a shepherd, a servant king, looking and acting more like a servant than according to our concept of what a king should really look like. So you and I then are called and commissioned by our anointing at baptism to be like Christ, shepherd kings and queens, servant kings and queens, who come not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus showed us by his very own example that to feed the hungry, quench the thirsty, to care for strangers or clothe the naked and comfort those who are ill, or to visit those who are imprisoned, is the responsibility of shepherd kings and queens. servant kings and servant queens. My friends, our anointing, our participation in the kingship of Christ gives you and me a share in the responsibility to care for the needs of others. Simply put, as we come to realize more fully what an awesome call and a commission this actually is, we will also come to see that we cannot, we must not shirk our responsibility, always expecting some leader, some president maybe, or some congressman, or even some bishop or pope, someone else to assume the responsibilities of kingship for us. Christ, Jesus Christ, is our King. And Jesus, by our baptism, has chosen to anoint you and chosen to anoint me to share in his own kingship. So how then do we fulfill our kingship on a more practical level? Well, if you or I sit down and write a $1,000 check to the Red Cross or St. Vincent de Paul every once in a while, does that cover us? Isn't that what Jesus showed us? Not at all. You see, for instance, if you or I approach the hungry or the thirsty from our lofty position of fullness, we might be providing them with food or water, but we're not really feeding the hungry or quenching the thirsty in the sense in which Jesus talked about and showed us. All we're actually doing is feeding our own egos. In reality, if we approach the naked or those exposed to the elements from our housed, secure, or well-clothed position, then we're not clothing the naked as much as just dressing ourselves up to look good. God doesn't minister to God's kingship to us from a lofty throne. But instead, in Jesus, he emptied himself, took the form of a slave, and became like we are. One of us. One with us. Does that sound like something that we've heard before? So in that sense then, God sets the example for you and for me of what it really means to be anointed as kings and queens. So exercising the kingship of Christ then isn't about just performing corporal works of mercy or doing good things. Now there's nothing wrong with all of that. It's wonderful. But our commission goes much deeper than that. Just think about it. How could you or I go to someone in prison from a position of inner freedom and expect to be fulfilling the commission to visit the imprisoned? Because we're really not visiting that person in the sense that Jesus modeled for us, as one of them, one with them. If I want to truly visit someone in a meaningful way, I go to where they are, to where they reside. So how can I go and reside in a place of imprisonment and remain free in my own heart? How can I possibly relate? First, I need to get in touch with all the ways in which I, too, am imprisoned. What are those situations in life that imprison me, that keep me from being free? I must come to see how I, like them, in many ways, am a prisoner also. Only only then would I be able to enter into a true solidarity with them, and with compassion and empathy to truly visit them. And who knows? Possibly even be able to open myself up to the probability that that person might be able to minister to me or have something valuable to teach me. My friends, if we would feed the hungry, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger as God's anointed kings and queens, then we must first get in touch with and experience our own inner poverty and hunger, our own nakedness, our own alienations. The kingship of Christ cannot be exercised from a lofty position of sovereignty, authority, or power over others. But if it indeed is to be the kingship of Christ, then it can only be exercised from a position of vulnerability, nakedness, and powerlessness. Precisely the place that you and I would rather not go. Right? So let's not be too hard on the bad thief in today's gospel either. After all, wouldn't we also much rather have a king that broke free from the cross, clothed in glory, saving himself, and of course, us along with him? Brothers and sisters, look at our king. The crucifix is the only portrait we have that shows us the truth about the kingship of Christ. Each and every one of us will have our share in the throne of our King. Throughout our lives, we all suffer exposure, vulnerability, and powerlessness in many ways. And all too often, both you and I look for a Savior King to rescue us from our crosses. And yet it is precisely through our crosses, our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, our nakedness, and our powerlessness that we are able to realize the truth of our solidarity with Jesus and with one another in the first place. Let me illustrate the point with this story. On 2 days during the year, a certain doctor goes upstairs to his closet and takes out of it a coat that is out of style. One sleeve is patched, and it's rather tawdry and stringy and dirty. He showed it to me one day, and I asked him why he wore it on certain days of the year. And he told me that once, when he was an intern in New York City in Lower Manhattan, he got a call one very blustery, cold, wintry night. A little girl came banging at his door. He threw on his jacket and he went over to the stinking tenement, up very dirty stairs into a one-room apartment where a little boy lay terribly sick. His mother and father were hovering over him. He did what he could for the malnourished child, but in spite of his best efforts, the little boy died then and there, right in front of him. The doctor was shivering, not only from the hurt of the boy dying, but because there was no heat in that tenement. The boy's father took off his coat, this very coat, and gave it to him and said, "Here, you're cold. Thank you for trying to save our boy. The doctor knew then and there that that was the only way this couple could possibly thank him. He didn't have the heart to refuse or to give the coat back. Now that he's prominent and fairly wealthy, once or twice a year on the anniversary of that boy's death and the day that he got his diploma to be a doctor, he wears that coat to remind himself just what it's really all about. My friends, it is precisely through our crosses, our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, nakedness, and powerlessness that you and I are able to realize the truth of our solidarity with Jesus and with one another. Jesus has given us the example. He has loved us and freed us from our separations by his cross. And so God's challenge for you and me today is to come down from our lofty thrones and find ourselves, like Jesus, as kings and queens among the people. Because if we don't find ourselves as one among the people, if we don't find ourselves as one with the people, we won't find ourselves at all.